This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
I would like to report back to you that I believe the agency is on a very even keel, sailing well. I honestly believe that we have improved dramatically. Your goals for our nation's intelligence capabilities, which are, in fact, the things that I think are keeping us very safe.
CIA Director Porter Goss speaking from the Oval Office on Friday. He is resigning his post after 18 months of heading the Central Intelligence Agency. NPR senior news analyst Dan Schor joins us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And this resignation on Friday afternoon was certainly not expected. All kinds of speculation as to why he decided to leave or it was decided that he should leave. What are some of the answers that make sense to you?
Well, what I would like to believe, but I don't, is that it's because he fired Mary McCarthy just on the verge of her retirement, alleging that she had leaked a story to the press, which she denies having done. It is more likely, however, that when he took the staff that he had in Congress over to the CIA, they turned out not to be what the CIA needed. And he demoralized a large part of the agency, and people began leaving one after the other. He simply didn't perform terribly well.
Now, how is Mr. Goss's departure likely to affect the agency, particularly now when the head of the CIA is not at the same time head of overall intelligence gathering?
Well, that is exactly the point. The person who used to be director of Central Intelligence, meaning all intelligence, now is director of the Central Intelligence Agency, meaning he becomes number two to the real chief in charge of everything, who is John Negroponte. It's John Negroponte who, in the first place, has to brief the president every morning. He is the direct contact. He understands what the administration is doing and where it wants to go, which leaves Porter Goss kind of hanging out there.
Dan, what do you hear about a possible successor?
Well, Scott, the name that's being mentioned by all the great mentioners is Air Force General Michael Hayden, top deputy to John Negroponte. He's also former director of the National Security Agency, the great eavesdropper. So when General Hayden has defended warrantless eavesdropping before Congress, and that ought to make for, well, an interesting confirmation hearing.
Immigration rights advocates called Monday the day without an immigrant. Immigrants and supporters nationwide were asked to stay home from work or school to demonstrate the economic impact of immigrant labor on the U.S. economy. Do you think the demonstrations and the people staying home had any kind of impact?
Well, that's interesting. Impact, yes. The only question is, what does the impact do? I'm sure that starting after these massive demonstrations last Monday, that the people in Congress began saying, wow, there must be some votes there. But the question is, what do you do about it? The people who take an interest in this are almost evenly divided between those who want to have this cheap labor and those who want to have stricter enforcement of our borders. And between the two, it is very difficult to get a compromise. The Senate almost did before they went away on a holiday, and whether they can start where they left off or whether there is simply one of these perennial struggles to do something that everybody wants to do, we'll have to see.
Well, but what does have influence in the Congress? Is it the demonstrations or is it nowadays emails and personal visits and letters for that matter?
Oh, I think all of the above. I mean, whatever evidence people give that they are interested in paying attention, which Americans don't always do when it comes to Congress, if they're paying attention, especially if they indicate that their next vote might be influenced by what happens, you'll get a hearing.
Zacharias Moussaoui will spend the rest of his life in prison. A federal jury could have given him the death penalty for his role in the September 11th attacks. Instead, he'll serve six life sentences at a maximum security prison. The judge said to him, "You will go out with a whimper." What's your reaction to the decision of the jury?
What's my reaction? I find this whole thing very, very painful. Here we've had this very long trial trying somebody who probably had no connection with 9/11, although he apparently knew some of their people. And because one needs symbols and metaphors to express our anguish and anger over what happened there, you have this very, very long trial, which he uses in his own way to make himself more famous than he ever will be again. And there was an enormous amount of surprise. I was surprised by it. I was sure there was going to be capital punishment here. And I was quite surprised that they gave him a life sentence instead. But as they say, he'll go with a whimper.
I want to ask you about a peace agreement that was signed in Nigeria on Friday that is being hailed and, of course, by some people criticized. The Sudanese government, the main rebel group in Darfur, have signed a ceasefire agreement. Mm-hmm. The deal says it will disarm the Janjaweed and other militia groups. It also guarantees some political representation for rebel groups. Two smaller rebel groups pointedly did not sign that agreement. Does this agreement have the impact of being the beginning of the end of one of the worst humanitarian disasters of our time?
I don't know. I would love to believe, but there again, I'm not exactly sure that this is also a result of the nationwide demonstration that were held last Sunday in support of the poor people of Darfur who have lost 100,000, 180,000 killed and about 2 million have been forced into refuge from the country. There was a truce before 2 years ago, and it didn't work. And so will this one work? Well, keep your fingers crossed. What may help is that the African Union is taking a more positive role in this, and President Bush sent somebody, Bob Zoellick, who's Deputy Secretary of State, over to give a final little push, and maybe all of those got an agreement which maybe this time may work.
Let me ask you about the journeys of Vice President Cheney. He's attending events in Kazakhstan and Croatia this weekend. Mm-hmm. Earlier this week in Lithuania, the Vice President had some very strong words for Russia, reproaching their human rights record. He has also accused Russia of trying to intimidate its neighbors by threatening to withhold some energy supplies. How do you analyze what seems to be really some growing points of divergence between the U.S. and Russia?
Yes, I don't think that anybody's looking into Putin's soul anymore. I think that in one way, they're getting ready for the G8 summit in July, where Russia will be in the chair. And I think the United States is a little unhappy about how that may be used. As to the rest, what Cheney said was all true, of course. Why he went to Lithuania to say it is something else, considering that the United States needs Russia right now, particularly to get some support on a plan for what to do about Iran. And that at a time like this, to pick a fight with Russia, I find surprising.
Dan, thanks very much.
Anytime.
Dan Shore.